Lord, we pray that you would be with our nation today. We've had a lot of things going on in this country. It seems like we keep getting bombarded with things. We pray your mercy upon it, mercy upon our leaders, mercy upon our people, Lord, that we would be at peace once again. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to get back to your house to worship you. And pray, Lord, your grace and mercy upon each one here, upon the families that have gotten the virus, and upon our nation, Lord. Just please be with us. We're all heavy hearts of the things that have went on, the people that have died. Be with those families, Lord, and please just bless us to move forward. Lord, we call upon you. There is no other. Please be with those that can't be with us today, those in the parking lot that are listening, those that are listening at home, those in the nursing homes that can't go anywhere and feel like they don't have a friend in the world right now. Please be with them and let them know that we're thinking of them and we love them and we wish they could be here. Please bless the service. Bless Brother Ronnie to bring us a message, Lord, that would fill our hearts with joy and we can go forward and live to fight another day. Lord, we thank you for these things in your holy name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. Very much appreciate that the prayer that's been offered by our precious brother in Christ. We'd ask that each one of you would pray for us as we stand before you. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, wow, it's been a while since I had got to say that. In the pulpit at Union Grove, if you have your Bibles with you this morning and you'd like to read along with us, please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. And I'd like to begin reading in verse 24 and read through verse 29. As our subject this morning would be building our lives upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 7 verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ upon the mount says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." We trust the Lord would add his rich blessings to the reading of his word. Contrary to popular opinion, when I say popular opinion, I'm making reference to people who have read the Bible. This sermon that was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ that begins in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and it goes through the end of Matthew 7, was not to the wicked, ungodly world. I've heard people take this sermon, which was the first recorded sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say it was the first sermon he preached. It's the first recorded sermon we have in Scripture. This sermon was not preached to the wicked, ungodly world, but if you'll notice in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, it was the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that had been taught by him, that were following him. He took them up into a mount and taught them, saying, and I'm amazed he begins by telling them what a blessed people they are. Blessed are you. Contrary to many Bible readers' opinion, this sermon the Lord Jesus Christ preached has nothing to do with heaven and hell. This sermon was not a sermon that was preached to people to encourage them to make a decision to become a child of God or to give them opportunity to deny the Lord and end up going to hell. It has nothing to do with heaven and hell. This sermon was to the children of God. It was to them to instruct them, to guide them, to help them, to strengthen them concerning what they would face in this life. And anyone that understands salvation by grace and grace alone should have an easy time coming to that conclusion. The Lord Jesus Christ, after He finishes telling them how blessed they are and instructing them in what they should be, He comes to the end of this seventh chapter and encourages them to hear what I'm saying and do it. And if you'll hear what I'm saying and do these things that I've told you, I'll liken you to a wise man that builds your house on a rock. But if you hear these things, and if a person is able to hear these things, it tells me he has an ear to hear. And the person that has an ear to hear is a person that's a born-again child of God. That child of God that would hear these things and not do them, Jesus said he's a fool. I liken him to a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And when the storms come and the rain fell and the winds blew, his house, it falls, and great is the fall of it. This lesson the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us is not about how we build our natural houses in this world. I mean, I've got a house here at 4316 Sincerity Road. You've got a house that you live in. No, Jesus is teaching something about our lives as His children. He, this person, that would hear these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in this lesson about the storms of life that come. He didn't say if. He said they're going to come. It's not if, it's when. And if our life is built on a strong foundation, it can withstand, stand against the storms of life. But if it's not built on a strong foundation, our life will crumble. Have you ever met children of God whose life just crumbled? I have. I've been one of those children of God because I'd not established myself on the things that I should have established myself on. See, Jesus cared enough about His children. Would you agree that Jesus cares for His children? Praise God. The Lord cares for His children. He loves His little lambs. He loves you. I could not express with words how much God loves you and cares for you. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, says we can cast all our care upon Him. Why? Because He careth for you. See, I love that word careth there. It's in perfect present tense. It means He has been caring, He does care, and He'll keep on caring. He's not going to stop caring for His little children. He cares for you and cares enough for you to give you this instruction to help you concerning your life that now is. The first thing I think we can gather from this lesson is a foundation is important. If a foundation wasn't important, why would Jesus even teach this? How many of you remember talking to your kids when they were growing up about the three little pigs? Am I the only one? The three little pigs. You remember when there was three little pigs, and they all built their house out of something different. Remember, one was straw, the other sticks, and the other was brick. You know, the big bad wolf, he came to each house, right? He didn't just come to one house or two houses. He came to all those houses. And when he'd come to the house, he'd say, "Hey, you little pig, you let me in." And the pig said, "No, I'm not going to let you in." He said, "Well, I'm going to huff and puff, and I'm going to blow your house down." And when he huffed and he puffed, the one made out of straw, it went to the ground. The one that's made out of sticks, it went to the ground. But the one that's made of brick, it stood. It stood against the big bad wolf's strong breath. And I know what you may be thinking, "Brother Ronnie, your preaching's done went to children's stories." There's some biblical principles that's in that story. Because the big bad wolf, the storms of this life, they're going to come. And I know what you're thinking, Brother Ronnie, are you saying we're pigs? No, I'm not saying we're pigs, but I'm saying there's a lesson in those three pigs. Do we want to be the one that's built our house out of straw, sticks, or bricks? A foundation to our house is important. It's so important the Lord took up the time to tell us that foundation is important. Why? Because storms are inevitable. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we labored there in 1 Peter in chapter 1? And Peter makes reference to them and the manifold temptations that they were facing. And there's a phrase that's in that verse 6, if need be. You know what that if need be means? It means the storms, the troubles of this life are inevitable. You can't escape them. We can't hide in a closet and escape the storms of this life. We can't go to a faraway island. Have you ever went through things in your life, you thought, I wish I could just get on an island way away from everybody so nobody would be near me, so I'd be away from trouble. But you know what? Trouble follows me around everywhere I go. We can't get away from trouble. It's inevitable. Right now in the United States of America, we're facing this trouble of coronavirus, this COVID-19. It's horrible. And my prayer is that the Lord, with a strong wind, would blow it away from us, that it would trouble us no more. But you know, when it's gone, there's going to be another. I looked at some history of the United States of America since the year 2000, of all the storms that people had to face. Now, I realize some of those did not affect us here in Union County, North Carolina. They didn't affect me when I lived there in Northeast Georgia, but there were a lot of American citizens affected by some of these things. Do you remember in the year 2000, they were talking about the Y2K? I mean, the world's going to crash and come to an end. All your money in the bank is going to disappear. The stock market is going to crash when the calendar turns over, and everybody was so afraid. What a storm that was. And when it didn't happen the way they say, everybody was like, whew, I'm glad we made it past that. There was a lot of work done and preliminary labor that it wouldn't crash as much as they were afraid of. We can go another year. There were people flying airplanes into buildings in New York City. Oh, my goodness. An airplane crashed there in Washington, D.C. I mean, I visited with Jennifer's family, and they took me there close to the Pentagon. I could only get so close, and they showed me where that airplane came into the ground there. Brothers and sisters, it made a hole in the ground. I saw it. It was a mess. People were afraid of that, and rightly so. Then you had the swine flu and the chicken flu, bird flu, SARS. Then, you know, North Korea got into the nuclear arms race, and everybody's afraid they're going to drop the nuclear bomb on America. It was just one thing right after another, and now we have this COVID-19 issue, and to me, the COVID-19 issue seems to be one that has affected more people than the others before. Would you agree with that? But even when this is gone, there's going to be another storm. There's going to be another trouble. This is not going to be the last of all troubles. It's inevitable. If you in your personal life have not faced troubles in your life, I assure you, you will have troubles. And if you can search right now and you can't find one, come to me after church. Maybe I can tell you about some of mine and get you burdened about mine. How about that? You're going to have troubles. It's inevitable. You know, these two houses here Jesus teaches us in his teaching, I mean, they probably had the same roof. Probably had the same siding. Maybe had the same landscaping. But they had different foundations. Do you realize I don't care what kind of roof that we put on our natural house? If it doesn't have a good foundation, it doesn't matter. It's going to fall apart. It doesn't matter what type of siding we use. If it doesn't have a good foundation, it's going to fall apart. A solid foundation is important. I was talking to Brother Brian Bowles this morning, and Brother Brian and his dad are building a deck on his house. And they've been over there digging through stone to make sure that the posts of the porch are down in the ground and in the concrete so it'd have a solid foundation. I told Brother Brian, in the end, you're going to be glad you did all that work. I remember when I lived in Georgia, a relative of ours built a deck onto his house, and all he did was dig and put concrete around the corners and nailed it to the house, and all the posts in the center, they just laid it up on cap blocks. Oh, that'll be good enough. And I said, no, that won't be good enough. Oh, it'll be fine, Ronnie. No, it will not be fine. You know, after a few storms come through and a couple of wind storms, the ports begin to fall apart. Why? It didn't have a strong foundation. A strong foundation is important. Why? The storms of life will come. Now the question is, what is a good foundation? Jesus teaches us here what the good foundation is. The good foundation is upon His teachings. Hearing what He said and doing them. A good foundation for our lives to be able to face troubles in this life is not on the shifting sand of public opinions. Public opinion is not a good foundation for your life. I can tell you why. Public opinion changes on a daily basis. People change. Let me show you how people can change real quickly. In Acts chapter 14, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they've been sent forth by the church at Antioch. And here's a great lesson for all of us as disciples and submissiveness to the authority of the church. The Apostle Paul was called an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He was taken up to the third heaven, and you may ask, what does that mean? That means he was in heaven where God is. That's what that means. There is a heaven, our atmosphere that the fowls fly in, Genesis chapter 1, Psalms chapter 8. There is a heaven, outer space where the moon and stars are, but there is a heaven where God is. That is the third heaven. Heaven, and it's where Paul went, it's where God is. He was called there and saw and learned things. And yet that man that was called an apostle directly by the Lord Jesus Christ, taught by the Lord Himself, when it come time for him to go forth preaching the gospel, he submitted himself to the authority of the church at Antioch. Wow. If that man submitted himself to the authority of the church, who would I be to rebel against the authority of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they went forth preaching. They come to a place called Lystra in Acts chapter 14. And there was a man there, was an impotent man. He couldn't walk. And the Apostle Paul looked at him, told him to rise and walk. See, the Apostle Paul was given those signs by the Lord through the Holy Spirit to give confirmation to his preaching. See, I don't need signs today. I've got the Word of God to back up what I'm preaching. When that happened, those people began to worship Paul and Barnabas. This is none other but Jupiter and Mercurius. They fell from heaven. And they got ready to make sacrifices and offerings to these men. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they withstood them. No. See, the man of God is not looking for worship of the people of God. The man of God's desire is the children of God would look toward God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul continued to preach. Some folks got stirred up. And let me show you how fast their opinion changed. They took him outside the city and stoned him and left him for dead. Wow, well, that changed quick, did it not? Now, do you want to build your life on that type of opinion? Let's go to Acts chapter 27 and 28. The Apostle Paul in his journey to Rome to stand before the Caesar. You remember the storm of Euryclus that just destroyed the ship the Apostle Paul was on. In Acts chapter 28, they come to the island Melita. And all the people that were there, they saw the Apostle Paul and they saw the storm. The Apostle Paul began to gather sticks. He's going to make a firewood for the people. Warm their hands. And there was a viper, a snake that came out of the wood and bit the Apostle Paul on the hands. You know what they said? Oh, surely this man was a wicked man that he escaped judgment. Oh, now he's going to get what he deserved. Wow. Well, people are judgmental quick, are they not? But the Apostle Paul, he just took that viper and he just shook it off in the fire and they saw his hand didn't swell. Then they begin to say, he's a god. They're ready to make offerings and sacrifices to him. Boy, their opinions changed quick, did it not? See, the reason it's not good for us to build our lives on the shifting sands of worldly opinion, it changes really, really quick. People's opinion change all the time. The foundation that we should be building our life on is not human emotions. You know, the Bible teaches us of righteous human emotions. And by the way, it's good to remember this. You know, the human tissue, the human body, it's a vessel that is dictated by the nature that we have. You know, this tissue of my body, that's not sinful. Our Lord Jesus Christ had the same tissue, but the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have the fallen nature that I have. So the tissue of the body is neutral. The Bible teaches us of God. God has jealousy. He's a jealous God. Does that mean God is sinful? No, God's not sinful. There's no sin in God. He's perfect and holy and without blame. The Apostle Paul had righteous jealousy for the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. But there is sinful jealousy. What is sinful jealousy? That's when that emotion is dictated by the carnal fallen nature. Boom. See, the reason our lives can't be built on emotion is we have a fallen nature that was not eradicated when we were born again. And our emotions can be dictated by that fallen nature. You know, love is such a wonderful word, is it not? Love is a wonderful word. Do you know how many people's mind often is deluded, not being able to understand the difference in love and lust? Happens all the time. Brother Ronnie, how can that happen? People get confused, love and lust, because we have a fallen nature. That's why. Anger. The Bible teaches us that God is an angry God. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. There is such a thing as righteous indignation. But there is sinful anger. Here in the last few weeks, I've saw people on TV that were just mad, and I don't even think they knew why they were mad. They were just mad. If you were to ask them why they were mad, they wouldn't know why they were mad. They were just mad. We cannot build our lives on emotions. No, the foundation must be better than that. You know, we can't build our lives on the philosophies of this world. The philosophies of this world. Do you remember the Apostle Paul when he stood there in Acts chapter 17 with the Epicureans and Stoics, and they were there gathered together but to hear, to tell some new thing? Let me hear something new. The philosophies of this world are often out of perspective. And by the way, philosophy, philosophia, is two words put together in one. It means a lover of knowledge or a lover of wisdom. And when people begin to love knowledge more than they love God, it gets out of perspective. I'll tell you someone that got out of perspective. There's a man in the Bible, his name was Jonah. Do you remember after Jonah preached and God granted repentance to the Assyrians, those people of Nineveh? He was out there sitting under a tree and a gourd was over his head, giving him a shade. And the Bible says God prepared a worm and that worm ate the gourd and he lost his shade. Jonah was more upset about the gourd being destroyed than he was all the lives of the people of Nineveh. How's that look for being a little out of perspective? Being more concerned about a gourd than the people of Nineveh. It's kind of like this, you know, people saying, save the whales, but they're not concerned about the little babies, right? That's out of perspective. See, the philosophies of this world are a little out of perspective. We can't build our lives on the shifting sand of worldly opinion. We can't build our lives on human emotion. We can't build our lives on the philosophies of this world. We've got to build our lives on something better. And it's important when we're building a foundation, we look for the right material, the right thing to lay our lives on, that it would be solid and be able to withstand the storms of life. You know, during this time that we've been practicing quarantine and staying at home, Joshua, my son, was drafted by me for us to do some work around the house. One job that we took upon ourselves to do was to build some new piers under the house. There's some screw jacks that were under our house, under the fireplace, and we ended up, he and I built 6 new piers under the house. Of course, that starts by, you got to dig out the footers. You got to lay the proper concrete. You know, we decided what concrete to use. I wanted some strong concrete. I wanted that concrete to be thick. You know, when I was choosing the material, I didn't go and to the kitchen and ask Jennifer to take some flour and make me some biscuits so I'd put in the ground. No, that wouldn't hold it up. I wanted some strong concrete. I wanted the strongest that I could find for that foundation. And I want to tell you something I learned during all that. Concrete in a 5-gallon bucket is a lot heavier at 50 years old than it was at 20 years old. Poor little Joshua worked so hard one day. At the end of the day, he was washing out the buckets, and he said, "Daddy, if it's all right with you, I just don't want to do anything the rest of the day." Lord bless his heart. But we wanted the right material. Here in this portion of Scripture, Jesus Christ said the right thing to build your house on is what he said. Hearing it and doing it. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot be disconnected from what he taught. You know, people in the world say, just build your life on Christ, on Christ. I had a man tell me early on in my ministry, "You're preaching, you should just preach Christ." I said, "You mean I should preach what Christ taught, right?" "No, just preach Christ. Don't preach so much about what Christ taught. Just preach Christ." I said, "Well, if I just preach Christ and I don't preach what Christ taught, when they finally come to the church and get ready to join the church, they find out what I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ taught. How are they going to feel then? They're going to feel deceived, right?" No, to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, that foundation we built our house upon, is what the Lord taught and told us to do. You know, you can't preach Christ unless you're preaching predestination. You know why? That's what Jesus Christ preached. You can't preach Christ without preaching eternal election. That's what Jesus preached. You can't preach Christ without preaching the direct work in the effectual call, meaning God calls his children alive. That's what Christ preached. You can't preach Christ unless you're preaching the preservation of the saints of God, that they're once saved and always saved. That's what Christ preached. You can't preach Christ unless you're preaching his second coming and him coming back and taking us home to glory. You've got to preach that if you're to preach Christ. And if we hear these sayings and do them, do these things that he said, we have a foundation to build our lives upon. Do you know in this sermon, the Lord Jesus Christ called on these disciples to control their emotions? Notice in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, he refers to anger. Go to verse 28 and 29, he said, you need to control your actions. You know, he that looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. You need to control your actions, not just your emotions. You need to control your tongue. Jesus said we should not be people that have to swear. I mean, our yea should be yea and our nay should be nay. Meaning this, when I speak, I should be a person of such honesty. I shouldn't have to say, I cross my heart and hope to die. I tell you what, I promise you. No, it should be with a word and a word only. Let me ask you, dear members of the church, do you remember a time when you could just give your word and your word was good enough? Well, things have changed, has it not? I mean, now I got to give my word. I got to sign a piece of paper. I got to have two witnesses and I got to get it notarized by someone that's legal to notarize. And then still they're worried about, you know, my word standing. Well, things have changed a lot. There's a time when a man spoke and it was good enough. Jesus Christ said that's the type of people we should be. Jesus Christ said we should be a people that are forgiving. We should be a people that are giving. We should be a people that are loving. But do you realize if we base all this that he's calling us to do, if we base it on just human emotion, if we base it on worldly opinion, if we base it on worldly philosophy, it will not stand. It will not stand. You cannot be a forgiving person of your brother and sister unless you're basing it on something, and it's the forgiveness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't love your brother as you should unless you're basing it on the love that God had for you from the foundation of the world. You can't be a giver to other children of God as you should unless you keep in mind what God has given for you. The proper foundation. Having that foundation, we can begin to build upon that foundation. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ preached a similar sermon to this in Luke chapter 6. Now, Luke chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7 is not the same sermon. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus preached this upon the mount. Luke chapter 6, that sermon was preached in the plain. Which teaches me what Jesus preached on the mountain, he preached in the plain. The truth is good on the mountain, it's good for the valley as well. It also tells me this, a sermon worth preaching once is worth preaching twice. The Lord Jesus Christ gave the ministry a wonderful example. If it's worth preaching once, it's worth preaching twice. I heard a story once about a young preacher that went into the pulpit and he was laboring to preach, and it was something he had preached before. And they said there's an older preacher on the pew, pecked a nudding on the shoulder and said, "You know that old little preacher there, he's a one-horse wagon. If you heard him once, you heard all he knows." And they said the older preacher turned around and looked at him and said, "Well, maybe God will give you something worth preaching twice one day." If it's good to preach once, it's good to preach twice. It's good to preach over and over. The Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 6 preached almost the very same sermon he preached here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you'll look with me in Luke chapter 6, in verse 48 in Luke chapter 6, when it comes to building on that rock, Jesus said you got to dig down deep. Turn there with me to Luke chapter 6. Jesus said that man that hears those sayings and doeth them, he is like a man which built an house and dig deep. He dig deep. Which teaches me this foundation that we have, we got to dig down deep to have it. The Lord Jesus Christ is our foundation. He is a solid foundation. It's important that we build our lives upon him. And it's a foundation we got to dig down deep to have. What does that mean, dig down deep? It means it's going to require some labor for us to have it. It's going to require some work for us to have it. I understand God's a God of grace, and God is able to give to whom he pleases. He's sovereign. But God just doesn't hand out this to his children. No, there's requirements of us as children. Not a requirement to become a child of God, but a requirement to have fellowship with him. We often had to dig down deep. I want to tell you, you got to dig down deep and get committed to read your Bible. You got to dig down deep. You got to get committed to be a student of the Bible. You got to dig down deep to get committed to the house of God and be at church. You got to dig down deep to be committed to pray to the Lord and communicate with him on a daily basis. You have to dig down deep. If we dig down deep and put forth that labor, that foundation that we have, Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16 says that foundation will be a sure foundation. That foundation is a tried foundation, meaning it's already been proven. It'll work. If you want our lives to stand and be able to withstand all the troubles that's going to come in this life, man, that's a sure foundation. It's already proved itself. Let me ask you this. If you're ready to build a house here in this world, will you just take somebody's immediate opinion on something new to use for a foundation, or would you like to do some search and find out what's been proven that works? It works. I want to find something that works. The Lord Jesus Christ is proven it works. And it works every time. And it's a tried foundation. You got to dig down deep to have it. I mentioned about Joshua and I. We were working on those piers under the house. We had one that we were digging, and Joshua looked at me and he said, "Daddy, I think that's deep enough." And I put my measuring tool on. I said, "No, it's got to go down a little bit deeper, son. A little bit deeper." I want to tell you, we had one of those piers, those foundations we did. It didn't end up hardly the way we wanted. We had to pull it out. Now, I was wishing I hadn't dug that one so deep. I'd like to have broke my back getting that thing out of there. I rolled it all the way to the door. But you got to dig. You got to dig down deep. You know, and at the end of that, when we do those things, we hear these sayings, we do them, we get our life built, it has an effect not only on us, but those people around us. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 112. Time is quickly coming to an end. I think I mentioned this week in a note to the church about comparing Psalms 111 to Psalms 112. Psalms 111 declares unto us the Lord, his power, his glory, his goodness. Psalms 112 teaches us about the blessings that we have as children of God by obeying the Lord of power. Notice what it says in verse 1 of Psalms 112. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." That's the man that hears the sayings of God and does them. And notice what he will be. "His seed shall be mighty upon the earth." What does that mean? Not only is it a blessing to him, but it's a blessing to his family. It's a blessing to his friends. You find a person that has a strong foundation in his life, it's not only a blessing to him, but it's a blessing to his children. It's a blessing to his wife. You find a wife in this world that builds her life on a rock. She's a blessing to her husband. She's a blessing to her children. I mean, you look through history, you find these sisters in the Bible, like a woman named Hannah. Wow. Was she not a blessing not only to her husband, she was a blessing to her children. Verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Well, Brother Ronnie, is that saying if I build my house with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to have a large bank account? There's more than one way to have wealth and riches. In my time in preaching the gospel, I've visited a lot of homes. You know, I visited some homes and stayed there, spent the night preaching the gospel, went to a large home. As soon as I walked in the door, I knew this family was a rich family. I visited a family in Mississippi. They talked to me before I got there about the accommodations, not a large bedroom. I got there and it reminded me of my home I was raised in there in Georgia. I mean, my daddy raised me and my little brother, and sometimes my older brother would spend the night with us. I mean, that house was 1,100 square feet. Mama, she'd say, I think we need more room. Daddy's opinion was, if you need more room, you need to go outside. It was a rich home. I'd get up in the morning, look at my daddy, he's reading the Bible, he's praying for his family, praying for the church. I had a mama that would kneel by the bed and pray with me at night before I went to sleep. I walked in that family's house there in Mississippi. I said, your house may be small to the natural eye. I said, but it's rich. It's full of wealth. See, that man that's established on the rock, he's got a rich and wealth, riches and wealth in his house. David goes a little further in this psalm. Notice with me, verse 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. When the storms come, it's going to be okay. Like a house that stands in the midst of a hurricane. Yes, it's going to be tough, but it's going to be okay. That man, not only is his life a blessing to him, but he's a blessing to others. That man that builds his house on the rock, when I say man, I'm referring to man and woman. He's not looking to the world to be an influence to him, but he's going to be an influence to the world. See, by us building our house on a rock and being established on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not looking to the world. No, we can be a blessing to the world. Do you remember the Lord told the children of Israel? If they would just do what he said, Deuteronomy chapter 28, they'd be the lenders and not the borrowers. They'd be the head and not the tail. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a world, as the Apostle Paul would say in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, of crooked and perverse people. I sent a text to Sister Anita this week, and I said, this world is full of crooks and perverts. That's what it's full of. Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses said that children of Israel and following the things of the Canaanites would be nothing but crooks and perverts. I don't need them influencing me. May God help me to be an influence to them, that I can be the light of God in this world. And in doing so, by me building my house on a rock and being an influence to the world, I have peace in my life, I have comfort in my life, and I'm making an effect. I have an effect on this world. And I'm going to close by saying two things. One, if you'll go to Acts chapter 16 and read this week, you'll find a man, a Philippian jailer. He was outside that jail with his freedom in the Roman Empire. The Apostle Paul and Silas were inside the jail with stripe marks over their back. But when the Lord came on the scene, it's a Philippian jailer that come in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know what he's literally saying? He's saying this. He's saying, what can I do to have what you got? Are you kidding me? They were in jail. They had stripes on their back, but they had something he didn't have on the outside. And what that was peace and comfort in the midst of that trouble. And secondly, I want to say this, if the Lord would be our guide and helper, And that thought of us building our lives on a rock and being established in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have looked over our articles of faith in the last several weeks. I feel to be responsible as a pastor to not only stand for the truth, but to prepare the entire church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to stand for the truth here in this world. And if God would be our helper, and I would ask you to give me liberty if the Holy Spirit changed our minds to preach something else, I would like for us to go through every article of faith that we have here at Union Grove. The reason I have searched and I have found that there's people that were born and raised in the Primitive Baptist Church that are part of other groups in this world that teach things very contrary to this Bible. And I'm not saying it couldn't happen to me, my family. I mean, we're all sinners. But may God help me as a pastor to teach the church of the Lord Jesus Christ what the Lord taught, what we believe, that you'd have a strong foundation to be able to face all the false doctrines of this world. May God richly bless you. Thank you for your kind attention. When you pray for me. You forgive the errors that I make. And if I've said anything good this morning, or even in my life, if I've ever said anything good, you keep in mind it came from God, and you give God all the glory for that. We want to publish an open door to the church. Anyone would like to ask for a home here at Union Grove Primitive Baptist Church, please come forward and do so. We stand and sing. What's the hymn number? Hymn number 197. At the end of hymn number 197, we will give an opportunity for any announcements. And then we'll ask Brother Phil Rash to close our services in prayer.
If you'd be here, everyone could hear you on the outside through this mic. Thank you, Brother Joe.
Lord, we thank you this afternoon for blessing us and loving us with that great faithfulness unto us. We thank you, Lord, that thou hast been merciful to us all the days of our lives, blessed us so abundantly. We thank the Lord for this great privilege of being able to meet inside this morning and for this blessing we've received from the singing and the preaching this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this sermon that we've heard about the foundation that we should build our lives upon, and that foundation is our Lord and Savior and His words. We ask, Lord, that Thou would go with us, lead, guide, and direct us, keep us. And until we meet again, we ask that Thou would bless us all and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.